Coming to you from weird and wonderful Louisville, Kentucky, it's time to talk all things beer on the Fall City News and Brews podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the second episode of the Fall City News and Brews podcast. I am your host, Brian Ucelis, the marketing manager at Fall City Beer. Two very special guests with me today. They're not really guests.
Are we that special?
You're not really a guest, and you're not that special.
And this is my second time on the show.
That's true. First, we've got back Shane Udick, our president. Say hello to the folks, Shane.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. Good to talk to everybody today.
And making his Fall City News and Brews podcast debut is Drew Johnson.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
It is exciting. Drew's our GM. And we're going to start off every podcast by mentioning what beers we're drinking. So what are you guys sipping on over there?
I am drinking the Fall City Lucidity Volume Deuce, number 2. This is a single hop series beer that we have done with the Louisville FC Soccer Club. It is all 7 C's hops, and it is probably my favorite that we've done so far.
The 7 C's consists of 7 different types of hops boiled into one.
Yes,
it's like a mixture.
Centennial, Citra, Columbus,
Cascade,
and 3 more.
Calamine Lotion.
Yeah.
Just lots of C's.
Yeah.
But it's a delicious beer.
So that's part of the beer deal we have with the local soccer club, Louisville City FC.
Some of that is still out there. If your neighborhood bar has gone through that, they should be on to the Simcoe Hop beer.
So basically we're releasing a new Lucidity IPA throughout the summer. We might change up that style soon, though, but we'll have basically one a month throughout the season.
We have done a lot of IPAs, and we feel that we're going to change it up a little bit. So all you soccer club fans out there that don't like all the IPAs that we're doing,
well, we got something for you.
You just down the pipes.
Be patient. Well, you guys are drinking the same thing, which is very cool. I am drinking our newest release, which is our Cabernet IPA, which is a...
What is that?
Oh, that sounds, you know what that is? That's classy. That's just...
I'm drinking out of a pint glass, not a wine glass. It's a collaboration with our good pals, our next-door neighbors, Old 502 Winery.
Mm-hmm.
It's an American-style IPA that we infused with Cabernet juice and then aged in red wine barrels, and... It's delicious, guys. Like,
very
I'm
unique.
Really pumped about how this turned out.
Yeah, so what we did, we infused it with unfermented Cabernet juice into the fermenter as the beer was going through the knockout phase. So the beer and the wine juice fermented all together. Then we moved it over to red wine barrels that had previously housed Cabernet wine. And we also dry hopped it inside the barrel. So we got a nice hop aroma.
So many crazy things.
It's just everything.
It turned out really nice, though, and the color's kind of cool, too. It's kind of purpley, and the head on it's kind of pinkish. So anyway, that'll be hitting taps around town soon, so keep an eye out for that. And that's just a little taste of, you know, we mentioned last time, Shane and I talked a lot about the history of Fall City and the kind of core beers that we do, the package beers we do.
Right.
This is just gives you a little glimpse. We're always, you know, turning out these really cool draft stuff.
Some may call us innovative. Innovative.
We are innovators.
That's what we do.
They are
we
imitators.
Collaborate.
Yeah.
And we innovate and we throw.
And I do want to give a little, just a little preview of something that's coming up soon because they brewed it today. We are doing a watermelon goza.
Oh, so good.
And I just want to say, I don't like watermelon beers at all, and I was kind of against this beer, and I just tried it. And I'm not saying this because I'm the marketing guy for Fall City. I'm saying it as a beer drinker. It's really good.
It's up there with the best beers we've put out.
Yeah, the balance is there.
It's spot on.
I'm not a big fruited beer fan, but there's a lot of
people. Our goes is super good.
Yeah, this is really good. This is a great summertime beer.
So stay tuned for information on when that will be available.
Is it the best goza that's ever been produced?
Yes.
To say it simply, yes, it is.
Yes,
there's
no
other option
you've ever tried.
But no, follow us on social media and our website and all that good stuff because we'll be posting when that's available out on taps. It's draft only, but it is very, very good. Perfect for the summertime weather here in Louisville. All right, now that we've covered what we're drinking, and today we're going to talk about beer names. And the reason we're going to talk about this is two. One, I think when people get into the beer industry, if they're not in the beer industry, they're like, man, wouldn't it be so cool to just sit around and name beers all day? You would be wrong. It's really hard.
Do you know how many beers there are out there?
There are so many beers.
So many beers.
And second is that we've run into a couple issues lately where we like nailed it. We were like, yeah, we're good. We've got this. It's a perfect beer name. It fits the style. It fits what we're going for. Only to find out that like some brewery in Massachusetts like has a trademark on it. So
These things happen.
Yeah. And like,
so is it a necessity to name your beer?
Yeah.
Is that like, so do you, can a brewery get by just with being Joe Schmo's IPA or Joe Schmo Porter?
Drew's IPA.
Drew's IPA. I mean, is anyone going to buy that? Probably not, just because it says Drew's IPA. But even so, do you need to differentiate your brewery and your beers by naming them? How does that, if you're a consumer, if you're looking at a beer menu, is a name going to grab you? Or you're just like, are you going to go off of the brewery itself plus an IPA?
Yeah. I think it's both, man. Like, we didn't name beers for a long time. In fact, before kind of this, our team kind of got into place, we just always had Fall City Brown Ale, Fall City IPA, Fall City Pale Ale, all these different things, with the exception of Hipster Repellent, which is a great name. We'll get to that in a minute. And I was like a huge proponent of naming beers because I was like, it shows off our personality.
Sure.
And I don't know that I've ever repeat bought a beer because of the name, but I sure as hell have bought a beer the first time because of a name.
Yeah, and you remember it, and you remember the brand.
Yeah,
what it comes down to is it shows the personality of the team and the group and the brand. And
I think the biggest challenge nowadays is that there's like two ways you can go about it. One is just naming it something that is relevant to what you're doing at the time. Like for instance, our barley wine is named Achiever.
Right.
And that's because our brewer Dylan was wearing an Achiever, Little Lebowski's Urban Achiever t-shirt while he brewed it the first time.
And proud we are of all of them.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's a barley wine, but that name stuck, and it's great, and we've used it every year that we've done barley wine. And then the other one is to really tie it into, like, the style of the beer and what's going on with it and, like, the spirit behind it. Like, our Calliope, which is our summer hoppy pills.
It has a story attached to it.
It has a story. We wanted to kind of play off the river, and I think, but it gets really, really hard. But then you got guys like Against the Grain in town.
Yeah, we really should have called Sam Cruz.
We should have had him. Yeah, Sam, come over here and tell us.
I've had fun conversations with that guy about beer names.
Yeah.
Because that guy comes up with stuff that I would never even think of.
But those guys have such a niche where it's every name is off the wall. None of it really ties to the beer. Sometimes they do. And part of me thinks that's super challenging to have to come up with those creative names all the time. What do you guys prefer? Do you prefer a really catchy name, or do you prefer just like an out there name that doesn't make any sense?
I don't necessarily want the name to overshadow what you're drinking. I mean, it should be something that complements the beer that you have, whether it's something off the wall, if you have an off the wall beer, if you know, it's something that can, with so many beers that are out there, a name can certainly resonate more with you than just a brewery and a style. I mean, if you have some kind of catchy name or a story that ties to the name, I think that that's going to help resonate with the consumer more so, especially with just the ADD craft beer mentality that is going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, perfect example of that is, you know, we accidentally created a beer that ended up being called Dylan and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That was a beer that
wasn't an accident. That was a great name.
That was, what happened with that beer? Do you remember how that all came to fruition?
This was kind of before I came back, but the stories that I heard, it was just a combination of you starting with one style. It went into a bourbon barrel. It came out too boozy, so they cut it and put it into a wine barrel and then used a funky yeast strain and like infused that in there. Then it came out just too weird, so then we infuse it with a harvest ale, which we don't actually have anymore. So it's just
so we said, Dylan, can you recreate this? And he said, like, absolutely not.
There's no way that we can recreate that. But it's, and that's why it was an excellent adventure. And we only had a small amount of it, and it hit a couple beer festivals and a couple spots around town, and then that was it. But I mean, that's the fun about brewing, is that you can do crazy stuff
and
like that.
It's funny you brought that up, because that's maybe my favorite beer name that we've ever had at Fall City. And, well, to fill you guys in,
we just got to wait for the bogus journey now.
Right? Well, yeah. Well, that was the backup plan. So, like, to fill you guys in, Dylan Greenwood is our master brewer here, and then Ted Brower is our assistant brewer. So, like, the minute Ted started, I was always like, Dylan and Ted. Like, this is like Bill and Ted growing up. I love those movies. We can do this. And when they were doing this experimental ale, I thought, this is perfect, because if it's good, it'll be Dylan and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And if it sucks, it'll be Dylan and Ted's Bogus Journey. But either way, if it's drinkable and we like it, we'll put it out.
Yeah.
But it turned out, like, I love that beer. Like, I thought that beer was great. But it does suck now, though, because the kegs that we did put out, which were very few, Like, it's never happening again. No. There's no way to recreate it. No. So we kind of wasted the name.
And I tried to explain that the way that that beer came about to a couple of people out in the market. And some people really liked it. Other people just got bored halfway through my story. I could tell them just, like, trailing off. It's like, well, and my head fell off and rolled down the street. You know, there's no way that you really kind of tell that they were still listening to me. But
the people who tend to like it are the people, I think, who liked Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yep.
They're like, oh, I get what you're doing.
Point being here is some beer names come very
organic,
easily, like the t-shirt or like this specific one, this Dylan and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Other beer names, we will sit in a room
it's awful.
And ponder for a day about this specific style because it might
An entire day.
Like, we will have just a day of brainstorm for a specific
style.
We
get really mad at each other, and then you, like, take a break, you go to lunch, and then you come back and you drink a beer, and you think, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
I'll go home, and I'll think, I got it. I write down this really good idea, and then I come in the next day, and it's just terrible. Yeah. It's, like, the worst, dorkiest idea.
Or you think that you have, like, a great idea, and you Google it. It's like, hey, my idea is not that great because 10 other people have the exact same thought process.
Or you think you have a great idea, and you say it out loud, and you just get laughed at by everyone in the room. And so it's like...
What's that like, Shane? I'm not exactly sure.
I've had a few of those. But it's interesting because it kind of brings out... It shows the different personalities in the room, which is, I think, what makes the Fall City team go around.
Really. Oh, for sure.
And so, like, my thoughts on what sounds cool or what would be a good name for a beer, Brian points and laughs and throws a piece of paper at my face. And
that was only one time for Chat and Chill.
Yeah, Chat and Chill.
Not all of your names are bad. Just most of them are bad. But I think people brainstorm differently, though. So, like, what I'll do is, like, I'll go home. Like, well, the reason we're talking about beer names today is because we had kind of this disaster last night where we had this beer name ready to go, and then we realized that there might be a copyright issue, so we were trying to find a new name. So
we had it approved through TTB, which is actually the second time this has happened.
Maybe we're bad at researching. By we, I mean me. It's kind of my job.
Marketing guy.
Yeah. But anyway, like, I go home and I write down, like, my 10 favorite names. And what I do is, like, I'll give it an hour and then I cross 5 off and I think, okay, these 5 are strong. I'm going to bring them in the morning and share them with the guys. That's how I like to do it. Shane sends you a text at 11 o'clock that's like, guys, here are the 15,000 names I came up with. Which ones do you like the best?
In parentheses. I really like this one.
Yeah, he'll put parentheses next to the ones he really likes. So he sends us everything, which is like, that's just difference of creative thought.
Yeah. And then the one I thought I really liked, I walk in, I'm like, hey, did you guys think that was a cool one too? And Drew's like, get out of my face.
And then there's Drew, who's got a newborn baby at home who doesn't respond to anything and doesn't do anything besides just try to sleep an hour before he comes in. Yeah. Sometimes that exhaustion gets those creative juices flowing.
Well, I was sitting there changing the diaper at 2:30 in the morning, and I got pissed
diaper
on
rash
my face.
IPA.
It's like, holy cow! What kind of call this beer name?
That's how ATG came up with the brown.
You know what's funny?
All those guys are dead, so I don't doubt it.
I guarantee you, though, like, diaper rash IPA. I bet if I type that in Untappd right now, it exists.
Probably.
Every name exists.
It's some weird corner of the United States. There is some small brew pub that has a diaper rash IPA. Mm-hmm.
And eventually you got to get to the point where if you do come up with a really good name, you've got to decide, like, okay, it's been done, but has it been done in a way that's going to affect you? Because there's so many small breweries that do draft-only beers. And that's kind of my, like, threshold. If I type it into Untappd or Google and I find that,
it has 7 ratings.
Joe Smith in Seattle has a tiny brewery and did a one-off called Brian's Pale Ale, whatever you want to call it. I'm fine using that name. But if I find that someone else in town has used it or someone else does it and has production, you know, behind it and cans or bottles, that's where I think maybe you back off a little bit.
Right.
So moving on, what would you say your favorite beer name is? Not just ours.
Let me think about it. Go ahead, Shane.
Wow, you guys are really put you on the spot.
On the spot. You gotta feed us this before.
I told you guys
starts.
This morning I was gonna ask you this question. I fed him.
You know, I'm just gonna put on my biased hat here and just say it's been so fun to sell a beer called Hipster Repellent just to see the polarizing reaction you get, right? So some people just start cracking up and some people look at you like, get out of my face, bro.
Let's talk about that because that'll give you guys time to think more about your favorite beer names that aren't Fall City beers. Drew Johnson, our very own Drew Johnson, who's on the podcast today, is the inventor of Hipster Repellent.
Is an inventor the right word? I don't think so.
Yeah. Creator.
Thomas Edison.
So in my first tour of Fall City.
Talk about that first because you weren't on the pod last time and we kind of briefly mentioned you like you weren't really that important. So talk about how I'm...
That's a great lead-in. So this guy who's not that important is now on the podcast.
He's important now. He wasn't
I'm relevant at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I worked at Liquor Barn under many different... wore many different hats from, I guess, 2004.
Our good friends at Liquor Barn. We love those guys.
Yeah, yeah. They're great partners with us. They support the brand very well. Worked there for, I think, close to 10 years, then moved on to go to Fall City to take on kind of a job as a sales rep. And
what year? What, this was like 2012?
This was 2012, yeah. So I knew that Brian Raymiller, who was just a big force in the Louisville brewing scene way back when, was, you know, the brewer at Brownings, and he was at one of the hops locations over by Oxmoor. I knew that he was kind of moving over to take the job as the head brewer at Fall City. And as I was always just been kind of a home brewer, just kind of making a mess in my own house, wanted to learn how to brew commercially and knew that this guy was going over there. So reached out and was able to kind of move into Fall City as kind of a sales rep, kind of I think what my title was operations manager, something like that. Forgot what
Renaissance man.
Yeah, I forgot what Easterling called me, but...
Do it all, Drew. That's what I was
at that point. I mean, Brian stuck around for a while, but he was he moved on to open up a new brewery out in West Virginia. I think he's actually moved on. I think he's actually a brewer at Victory at this point. Last time I talked to him, we were brewing a beer. I guess when I left Fall City when I left Liquor Barn the first time. This is kind of confusing because I bounced back and forth. But I left Liquor Barn the first time. Somehow I was not in the best graces of the corporate chain. So we decided to kind of brew a beer to get back on the good side of Liquor Barn. I reached out to my buddy Todd Ferris, which is probably one of the funniest human beings.
Shout out.
I've ever met in my entire life. Todd, if you're ever listening, love you, buddy. But we did an IPA and basically put it in Todd's lap to name this beer. And it, you know, he came back with a laundry list of ideas, most of which were not even PC that I probably cannot even mention on this podcast. And I wish I still had that list. Todd, if you still have that email, please find it and forward
it. Shoot
it
our way.
But Hipster Repellent, the one that really kind of stood out to me. So it started as just kind of a draft-only beer that we did for Liquor Barn. At that point, Fall City didn't have the only packaged beer that we had. It was a pale ale, and I think at that time it was a wheat.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, we're going to do an IPA. And, you know, we called it Hipster Repellent IPA. We had this awesome kind of graphics artwork that started out looking like a real guy, and I turned it over to my other buddy, Nick Carl, who kind of turned the real character into kind of like a cartoonish guy. I know I never really trust a person with two first names, but Nick Carl was actually a good guy. And he did a great job of kind of transforming that into this cartoon character, which was on the Hipster Repellent logo for a while until rebranded last year. But either way, that beer is you know, most of our names kind of draw to Louisville history, whereas we have the Hipster Repellent that just kind of is just
it's the outlier.
It is, and it's great. It's a good conversation piece, and people really kind of raise an eyebrow. They're like, hold on, what is the name of that?
Well, and to me, like, as someone who's not been with Fall City the entire time since we were kind of reborn, that was the beer that really put them on the map. Because, like, when Fall City came back, when we came back, it was, oh, pale ale. And everyone just like, oh, it's Fall City, Fall Shitty kind of thing. And then all of a sudden you see this Hipster Repellent, and I know the branding was bad, and people couldn't tell right away that it was the same brewery.
Yeah, that was the biggest issue. Is you just couldn't tell that the pale ale and the IPA came from the same brewery because the branding was so
different. Like, I dug that beer, and I loved it. And that was, I mean, quite honestly, like, part of the reason like I even thought about applying for the job here, you know, and originally wouldn't have.
You're the reason, Drew.
Drew really, even though Drew wasn't here when I came, or I started here. So anyway.
And now we share an office. Is that just...
We really are. Drew and I are office
mates. You guys want to hold hands real quick?
No, this is a break.
Everybody on the
We've
pod,
already done that.
They're holding hands right now.
So yeah, so Drew came back. Drew left to go back to Liquor Barn and then came back to Fall City.
Yeah, I went back to Liquor Barn to be the corporate beer buyer. And it was a great learning experience for sure. But at the end of the day, sitting in a cubicle wearing clothes I would typically wear at a church, crunching
Drew
spreadsheets.
Drew doesn't go to church.
Being back into the brewing side where I have an office that overlooks a brewery and just help.
And you share it with
help,
me.
And, yeah, unfortunately. And just help kind of create these kick-ass brands that we're you know, cranking out day to day. I couldn't be happier.
That was a very nice segue to buy you guys time to let's talk now about your favorite beer names. Because Hipster Repellent is the... I think that we can all agree Hipster Repellent's the best Fall City beer name.
Yeah.
Besides Dylan and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that.
But I mean, I guess when I say favorite beer name, that's kind of vague. But is there any beer that, like, the first time you ordered it, you remember being like, yeah, I'm intrigued by this?
You know what stuck out to me? This is...
I don't.
You know,
that's what I'm
asking you. Kind of... might be taboo to talk about this because they're such a big brand and they're everywhere, but Sierra Nevada's Otra Vez, for one, I like the name Otra Vez. It just kind of rolls off
another
the tongue.
Time. Is that what it's called? Other Time.
Is that what that stands for?
Yeah.
Oh, see? There you go. That beer has cactus in it, doesn't it?
Yes. Grapefruit and cactus. That beer's
like,
good.
Cactus? Like, man, yeah, like, that is unique. Like, I've never had a beer with grapefruit and cactus.
Yeah.
And that always kind of stuck out to me as like, I've had thousands of different beers, and that one
and
was
see,
like, wow.
Like, Sierra Nevada is a perfect example because they've got Torpedo, and they've got Otra Vez, and they've got Bigfoot, and they've got all these different beers, but their, like, main flagship beer is just pale ale.
Pale ale.
And you
kills it.
Like it. But then, like, why did they decide to do that?
Right.
You know? Because, well, I guess those guys, like, they were way back in the game before anybody was in. So
yeah, man.
Just, like,
those are the,
people didn't know what a pale ale
they're
was.
They're the trailblazers of craft beer.
Yeah.
They were the first APA out there that really... hit it off.
Drew shaking his head.
I you know, there's not one particular beer name that really kind of stands out to me. I mean, there's a lot.
Thanks
I mean,
for
just,
your contribution to this conversation.
You know what, I'm trying. I mean, there's. I mean, I can't.
You know,
I
too many.
Yeah. Exactly. I cannot put my finger on one. I do have to tip my cap to the guys at Against the Grain because they come up with more names
for sure.
Just for the record, this is the third time on the Fall City podcast we've talked about our friends at ATG.
Well, I mean,
we do love
those
guys.
They're good dudes,
and they are very creative and innovative, and they do things that are completely different. You know, that's you know, they are Against the Grain. They own that. It's great, and I think that it's the names that they come up with, some push the envelope way more than I've ever expected anything to see.
I don't know that it's the name as much as the graphics on some of them, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, since Drew doesn't have one, I will tell you another one that's always intrigued me.
Okay.
Was the Stone Enjoy By.
That is a cool concept.
Yeah.
A
conceptual name.
It's a conceptual name. It's the same name, but the date changes. So for all you folks out there listening that are not beer nerds, which there are probably zero of you, because if you're listening, you're a beer nerd, Enjoy By is drink this beer by this date, and if you don't, it's not good anymore, right? So we want to drink something
that like Stone can pull off, though.
Sure, because they're
because
Stone.
If we like not if we but if like a smaller brewery did that,
but you know that reaches out and bites them in the ass too because
it
if
has
that,
to
if that beer
no one's
no
buying
way,
that beer if it sits on the shelf. That's
you
my
know,
point.
They have one. It was the last one was July 4th, so
yeah.
You know, come July 5th, while that beer
I'm
is
not
still,
buying it.
While that beer is still fine,
it's a ballsy move.
It is a ballsy move. You're putting a lot of eggs in one basket, like because you're not just putting your eggs in the basket of your brewery. You're putting in all of your distributors and mm-hmm. then all of the retailers, and they're worldwide.
Yeah,
worldwide.
Yeah, no, I mean that's a really for them. It's a cool thing because they kind of have the brass to do that. But mm-hmm. a lot of small breweries couldn't get away with that because I mean, and not saying that we've got out of date beer all over the shelves, but.
Sometimes
when you broadcast that date, I mean, beer, let's get real. Beer's good past its born on date or whatever you want to call
it's never gonna
sell
hurt
by
you.
Date.
You can drink it 20 years
yeah,
from now.
It might lose a little of its flavor if it sits for a month after that, but that's like advertising that it, but as you said, it definitely catches your name or
does.
Catches your eye.
Definitely
you go to beer names. All right, I'll just revert back because a lot of people ask me, like, what is your favorite beer? Like, which is like, what is your favorite child? But, you know, one of the beers that I always have in my fridge and that I love to order whenever I go out, if I cannot find anything else, is Bell's. Go ahead.
It's too hard.
Yeah, well, I already said Bell's. So, I mean, but, I mean, still, that is a beer name that has nothing to do with the style. Like, it's too hard. You have two fish on the label. It's a
river in Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very rudimentary kind of label.
That's a great name, too, because it ties into who Bell's is and where they're from. And that label, I've always thought of just like the most old, ugly-looking label. But you love it.
Yeah,
so recognizable.
So many breweries have rebranded and changed their logos and even updated things.
They do not care.
And
even Bell's has
updated their own labels, but they have left that label alone, which I appreciate.
Would you say that's their flagship, though? You know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
That,
definitely.
Yeah, you look at the percentage, because I saw something that it was probably, I think, 70% of their sales was Two-Hearted, like, and then like 20% was Oberon, and then everything else was kind of filled in.
And those guys make such good beers, but
they do.
Two Hearted's everywhere, you know. Like, it is so good.
And it did just get usurp Pliny the Elder as Alzheimer's. You like best beer. Which I mean, a lot of people kind of throw guff up at that, but Bell's Two Hearted is such a great beer, and it gets a lot of shit in the craft beer community because you can buy it every day.
I don't see why that's a problem. That like that's a conversation for a different day.
It is, but I mean that is a beer that you can find on the shelf nearly everywhere you go where they are distributed, and yet they get scoffed at because it's not. You don't have to wait in line 2 hours.
Yeah,
to pick
and
it
like
up.
That's disgust me because like there are very few times in my life where if like I'm in the mood for a beer and someone's like, oh, I've only got Two Hearted, I'm going to be like, oh, screw you, buddy. Like that beer's awesome.
Yeah,
and I just wrote down like. When I got into craft beer
yesterday,
2 days ago, I used to talk to people about like gateway beers, like what beers could you drink that would basically shift your palate from the Bud Lights, Miller Lights of the world. And like that's like the most ultimate gateway beer for me because it is available everywhere. Yeah. So it's always, and like that's a good thing. And Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is very similar to that. Mm-hmm. We can talk about those another day too. But no, and the name doesn't have to do with the style. Like, the name is just, it's a river. It's got fish on it. It's nice. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy to order it. It's catchy. And that's where I think sometimes...
And the price point is great.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's hard to beat that.
Plus, when you can get the mini keg of it.
Oh, man.
There's nothing better than getting a mini... Like, I do love the mini keg as a serving style because you're making a commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the flip side of this argument, on beers that are not relevant to the name or style of the beer, is like... Let's talk about Founders All Day IPA. Like that is a session IPA. You can drink it all day.
Right
long.
On. Yeah.
Like nailed it in my opinion. Like the All Day IPA. It's easy. It's fun to say. It describes what kind of IPA you can expect to be drinking there. Like boom. I think they did it pretty well. And they are the best selling session IPA in the country.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, there's really no right or wrong answer. It just comes down to the personality of the people in the room and what the brand or the is trying to achieve with that product.
Yeah. I go back and forth because I do enjoy, like, a really clever name. Yeah. Like, and the Against the Grain guys, obviously, to mention them again, do a really good job. I can't remember who brews it, and that's shame on me, but there's a beer called Bron Jovi that I had a couple months ago. And I think, like... I literally ordered it because I was like, that's funny. Like, I'll give those guys credit. That's a funny beer name.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd order it again. Like, I don't remember it, obviously. Like, that's part of my point is, I think we overthink things and we think this beer name has to be, like, legendary. Like, Dale's Pale Ale. Dale's is a good, because it's like, oh, I have a Dale's.
Dale's
you
Pale
know,
Ale.
Like, it's such a good name. It's a solid name. And it's just named after Dale.
I had a beer when I used to live in Nashville, I had a beer called Buzzed Light Beer.
That's terrible. That's awful. I'm going to shut that one down right now.
And I was like, wow.
How was the beer good?
It was decent. Yeah, it wasn't awful. And
Walt Disney is already trying to sue us for this episode.
Yeah.
So, what was the slogan on that? Was it To Infinity and Beyond?
I don't remember.
Was it To Infinity and Beyond?
Oh, I wish.
If
it's not, it should be.
They should hire me. Yeah.
You should be their marketing guy.
Yeah. Take that as a compliment.
There are, like, naming beers is a quest. It's a journey every single time. Sometimes it's easy and quick and funny, and sometimes it literally takes six guys in a room pondering it for over a whole day and a half about what this next one's going to be.
That is frustrating because you think that it's so easy.
This is supposed to be fun, man. This is
like we've got this. You've got a concept in your head. You can see how you wanted to name it, and then you throw out a name, and then again. There's a dozen people out there that have the same idea.
There are two really bad things in the beer naming thing. One is when you think, I got this original idea, it's perfect, I nailed it. And then you like look it up and like 15 other people have gotten it and you're like, it really was an original thought, but...
See, the internet has ruined that shit for everybody then too. So you're like, a beer advocate and...
I hate the internet.
I know, it's crazy. Like you think that you have an original idea and then the internet just squashes you back down.
The other bad part of it, and I call this the Shane rule, is when you think... I got it. I nailed it. And you come into work the next day and you're like, I got this name. It's perfect. And you tell everybody and they're like, the name's stupid.
Get out of here with that, dude. God, that sounded good to me. And the reason why, as we already alluded to, there's thousands and thousands of beer styles, but there's thousands of breweries. There's more breweries today in America than there ever has been before. And there's like whatever, almost 6,000 breweries in America now. A lot of which
might as well be a million.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, that's what it feels like sometimes. Yeah. And so a lot of those are brew pubs.
Well, by the time that you actually listen to this podcast, there will be probably 20 more breweries.
No. I shit you not. At CBC this year in Washington D.C., they had said at the pace that breweries were opening, it's two breweries every single day.
It's insane. Yeah, it's great though, and that's what you want. You want that because you want people to have greater access to that kind of beer. You know, there are problems, and naming beers is one of them. It's kind of it's not a huge issue. If that's our biggest issue is trying to go with the original name, it's not too bad.
No.
Shelf space is another thing. There's many other options, but I like it because I like to see people following their dream. I like to see people just putting good beer out there.
Put some more personality behind a beer and into a brewery, too. Like, you can see what the guys behind the scenes are thinking about, what their thought process is.
Yeah.
Well, it's this, that, or the other.
That's a topic we'll talk on another pod is, you know, how much beer is too much beer, and is that good or bad, and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, that was a really good talk on beer names, guys. I feel like we covered some ground. We talked about some personal experiences. Mm-hmm. We talked about our favorites. I will say, if you guys, anybody listening out there, if you've got ideas or names or anything, if you've got some commentary on this, shoot us an email, info@fallcitybeer.com. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook @FallCityBeer. We're super responsive on there. We're looking to hear back from you guys. And the last thing I want to do before we wrap up today is talk about some upcoming events that we have. So Tuesday, we've got a beer dinner, and Drew, you're going to lead it, so I'll let you talk about it real quick.
Yes, so we are going to be running a beer dinner at Vernay's over on Frankfort Avenue. It's going to be
here in Louisville.
A four-course beer dinner with an opening beer. We just check our Facebook page for the the menu. It's going to be our core beers, our Hipster Repellent IPA, Pale Ale, Kentucky Common, Calliope, and then our King Louie for the dessert.
Yeah.
Sounds delicious.
Beyond that beer dinner, some other really cool things we have coming up. We are the official sponsor of Burnt Knob Music Festival. So this is a music festival at Iroquois Amphitheater here in Louisville. Probably, it's the coolest venue in Louisville, I think. It's outdoors. It's really this kind of hidden gem.
It has rapidly become my favorite venue. I mean, it's not going to usurp the Palace, in my
opinion. I love the Palace. I love Headliners. I love all those guys. I love Z-Bar. Z-Bar's new renovation's been great. But Iroquois Amphitheater is putting on this two-day local music fest with local brews, which is us, and local food. Nelly Pearl, The Pass, James Lindsay, Frederick the Younger, some really, really great bands. Check out all those bands if you haven't, first of all, and then check out Ticket Off. It's like $10 a day, so it should be a really, really fun time. We're actually doing a special brew for that. It's, we're going to call it Iroquois APA, I think, so be on the lookout for that. And then the last thing is the next installment of our neighborhood series will be announced next week. So our neighborhood series is something where every other month we're going to one of the, you know, unique neighborhoods here in Louisville, picking out a bar, brewing a beer for those guys, doing special glassware, doing a kind of a one-off release. And
this one's going to be fun.
It will be fun. This one's one of the ones I'm more excited about. Like the first, we're doing six this year. We've done three. This will be the fourth. Announcing that probably on Tuesday of next week. So
they've all been great. I mean, we've all had great partners with Hilltop and Magbar and
Merle's.
So this one.
If you haven't been out to one, I suggest you come out because it really is a good time. And we really do try to really pick up and embody what that neighborhood's about with the beer, with the glassware, and just kind of the overall kind of vibe of the party. So I think that's all that I've got for today. I appreciate everybody listening.
I've had an awesome time.
Yeah. And then one last thing. Sorry. This happens every time I try to wrap up a podcast. It's like, I gotta say one more thing. We're going to do these basically every 2 weeks. So this is episode 2. Hopefully this will satisfy your Fall City beer needs until 2 weeks from now when we will come out with another episode. So stay tuned. We appreciate you guys listening. We know you have a choice, and we thank you for choosing Fall City.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Take it easy, guys. Drink responsibly.